So we are at the midway point of our Easter sermon series, which is called Believing is Seeing. This series is carrying us from Easter to Pentecost, and it's inviting us to believe the good news of Easter so that we can see all the ways new life is springing up around us. We're challenging ourselves to believe in God even when we doubt, to trust in God even when we're sad, to listen for God even amid the clutter of voices in this world that vie for our attention and our allegiance. Today, we're going to see how God is calling us to follow even when we are afraid or overwhelmed. And we're going to start with a scripture reading from the Gospel of John. Now, this scripture reading is likely familiar to many of you. It's common to hear it read at funerals and memorial services as we honor loved ones who have passed away and find comfort in knowing they have made their way to God's eternal home. It's important to remember, though, that the original setting for this text was when Jesus was still very much alive. His death, though, is on the horizon. When Jesus speaks these words, he is at the Last Supper that he shares with his disciples. Jesus has washed the disciples' feet. He has foretold his betrayal by Judas, and Judas has slipped out into the night. He has told his disciples that he will be with them only a little while longer and that where he is going, they cannot come. He has also foretold Peter's denial. It's no wonder the disciples are overwhelmed and afraid. Their beloved teacher is leaving them. One of their own has turned against them. And the steadfast leader of the disciples is said to be on the cusp of a great failure of loyalty. It is as though the ground is shifting beneath their feet. It is into this mix of sadness and suspicion, of faithlessness and fear and worry, that Jesus speaks these words. So listen now for the word of God. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, but if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do. And, in fact, will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father will be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. Here ends the reading. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. Will you please pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So how many of you, like me, enjoy making lists? Who's a list maker? Yes. Oh, I see waving hands. Like we are active and excited list makers, some of us. Yes. Yes. Two hands up for me, right? Like all the hands, all the lists. I love them. And if you are a list maker like me, then you can probably make a list of all the kinds of lists that you make, right? You make to-do lists, grocery lists, packing lists, lists of books you want to read or gifts you want to buy, places you want to visit. The list goes on, right? I was shocked to discover that there are some people out there who actually go to the grocery store without a list. That is living on the edge, my friends. I do love my lists. I always have. But I started to think differently about them a few years ago after I read a book called Getting Things Done: The Art of Stress-Free Productivity. Doesn't that sound like such a great promise? Stress-free productivity. And it turns out, according to the author, that I had been going about my list making the wrong way. Now, for a list maker, you know you always want to learn how to make better lists, right? Of course we do. So when I had a big project to do or a busy week to plan, I tended to make a list of every single thing I needed to do. I did not miss a single detail. I'd even been known to put make a to-do list on my to-do list because it is so satisfying to get to cross that off right away, like immediate sense of accomplishment, right? But when we make those kinds of comprehensive lists, it turns out that our brains can get overwhelmed by so much information. We can become immobilized instead of energized, which makes it hard to do anything at all. So instead of making a list with every single detail for a project, instead we should just think about the one next step that needs to happen in order to move that project along. We don't actually need to have all of the steps laid out, just the one next step. And our brains can handle that amount of information, so we feel freed up to act instead of weighed down by too many details. Now I wonder if some of us could use this approach, not just with our work lives or our home lives, but maybe also with our spiritual lives. Sometimes it can be overwhelming to think about all of the things that might be on our spiritual or faithful to-do lists. Maybe we want to figure out how to heal all the brokenness in our families. We want to spend more meaningful time with friends. We want to be more patient with our coworkers. When people cut us off on the road, maybe we want to try waving at them with all five fingers instead of just one. We want to pray more regularly, to understand Scripture more deeply, to give more generously. We want to do everything we can to make this world a better place. It can be overwhelming to think about all of this at once. And it can be scary Because we set lofty goals for ourselves, but then we don't know how to get from here to there. If we want to spend more time in prayer, for example, we think we should somehow be able to go from being a novice prayer to a spiritual guru who spend hours in prayer overnight. If we want to fight injustice, we think we should somehow be able to fix everything for everyone all at once. We want to make big changes that involve comprehensive plans, but our brains can't always handle that amount of information, and it can be overwhelming for our spirits, too. We become overwhelmed and afraid instead of energized and encouraged. And it feels like we will never get there, wherever there is. So why should we even bother to try? But what if we could think differently about how to make these changes in our lives and in the world? Instead of trying to figure out all the steps that get us from here to there, what if we just focused on the one next step we need to take? What if that could free us from fear and help us step out in faith? If you want to spend more time in prayer, but you don't know where to start, maybe read through the Psalms, one a day. The Psalms are prayers already written for you, ready to go. If you want to make the world a better place, that is a lofty goal, but maybe you can start local. You could start right here and volunteer, say, once a month at the pop-up pantry right here at Old South. We might have lofty hopes and dreams for ourselves and for this world, but the only way to get there is to take one step at a time. In our scripture reading for today, Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life." So often, these words have been used to separate those who believe in Jesus from those who don't. But we need to remember that Jesus is speaking to the disciples when he says this. He is speaking to his own followers, his own friends. He's not trying to condemn those who don't believe. He's trying to encourage those who do believe. He's trying to encourage us to follow his way. He goes on to say that whoever believes in him will do the same works that he does, or even greater ones. Jesus is setting the bar very high. He expects us to do not only as he did, but to do even better. And that can seem like an overwhelming expectation. How can we ever get from here to there? It can feel immobilizing. But maybe what we need to remember is this. We will never get there if we don't take the next step. And that's all that matters. That's all that matters right here, right now, is the one next step that we each need to take. Early Christians were inspired by Jesus to call themselves the way. They called themselves that because they believed Jesus was the way to eternal life, but they also knew that believing in Jesus was not just about life after death. Believing in Jesus was about life right here on earth. And Jesus showed them the way to live a life of faith. So those first Christians called themselves the way, as a reminder that faith isn't just about talking the talk. It's also about walking the walk. It's about putting one foot in front of the other and following the way of Jesus Christ. And to walk the walk, you have to take the next step. So I wonder, What is the next step that you need to take on your journey of faith? Don't think about everything you could do. Just think about the one next thing you can do, the one thing you will do. This season of Easter is actually a perfect time to take that next step, because in this season of new life, we are invited to let go of all that weighs us down and holds us back and keeps us from following the way of Jesus Christ. So friends, remember that Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life." And when you take the next step on your journey of faith, whatever that step is for you, when you follow the way, may you discover the amazing truth of God's love and the new life that is promised to us through the risen Christ. And trust that the way to get there, it's one step at a time. Amen. Friends, our communion hymn today is "Because He Lives." If you're here in the sanctuary, you will find it in your hymnals. And if you're worshiping from home, the words will drop into the comments so that you can sing along with us.